Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about, there are all sorts of arguments. You've heard them many times here on the program. We have just absolutely the best pro-life apologists on this program for decades now. And we've heard some really good ones. There are bad arguments. We try to avoid them. Why is it important that in our enthusiasm and in our vigor to defend life from beginning to end, we make sure that our arguments are good, that they're good arguments, that they don't actually argue against life or concede to those who would devalue life and its intrinsic value, concede to them very important ground. Joining us on this Wednesday afternoon, Michael Spencer. He's Speaker and Midwest Director of Training for Life Training Institute, and he's author of an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled, What If Susan Couldn't Sing? Identifying and Avoiding Bad Pro-Life Arguments. Michael, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks, Todd. It's great to be on.
Before we get into the particulars of this one bad pro-life argument, why is it important that as pro-lifers in defense of life, we learn to find out what a good argument is and avoid the bad ones?
Sure. Well, it's a great question and really a two-part answer. First of all, it's important to avoid bad pro-life arguments because it's tactically risky. In other words, when we enter into kind of a soft argument or a weak argument, it oftentimes comes back to haunt us. And so, for instance, if as a pro-lifer, we say things like, well, we shouldn't abort because we might be aborting the next Einstein, somebody can come back quickly and kind of counterpunch with, well, yeah, but we might abort the next Hitler, and that's a good thing, isn't it? And so then we've got to get, you know, off into the weeds there. So the first problem with this is that it's tactically risky. The second problem is that it diverts our attention away from the main issue. The real issue is not that abortion might end the life of somebody who might benefit us, who might entertain us or find a cure for cancer. But the real issue is that abortion is a moral injustice because it ends the life of innocent human beings, regardless of whether those human beings would go on to be famous inventors or they would be children with Down syndrome. The point is every human being matters.
Okay, so here is the argument, and I'll just restate it. You did it in kind of a short form. You know, we have aborted so many here in the United States. Had we not done this, we would have cured cancer because one of those babies would have grown up, gone to medical school, and discovered a cure for cancer. Had we not done this, the economy would be booming, and we wouldn't be worrying about a Social Security crisis because we'd have a big, healthy population. All of these arguments kind of folded together into the notion that abortion is a bad idea because we are cutting off future possibilities and potentials of people who might do great things. Is that the essence of it?
Yeah, that is the essence of it. And again, it's not that those things are necessarily untrue. And indeed, we may have already, in the last 40 years, aborted the person who would have found a cure for cancer or the person who would have found a cure for AIDS. And that's a bad thing. But the reason, again, that abortion is wrong is not because it might affect us, but that it affects the one who is aborted. Jay Watts, who is the vice president of Life Training Institute, of which I'm a part, says it this way. He says there's a difference between what is wrong with abortion and why abortion is wrong. So there are many things that are wrong with abortion. For instance, the one that you've just mentioned, Todd, the fact that we might be aborting the next, the next Einstein or the person who would find a cure for cancer. Another example that we oftentimes hear is that abortion is bad for women because there might be a breast cancer link and these kinds of things. And again, it's not that those are not valid points to bring up, but they miss the greater point. And the greater point is that abortion is wrong because it ends the life of innocent human being, period. That's why it's wrong.
So conversely, if it could be demonstrated, which it hasn't been, we've talked about that abortion breast cancer link many times,
mm-hmm.
but if it could be demonstrated that abortion actually reduced a woman's liability for something like breast cancer. That wouldn't make abortion right.
That's right, and that's an excellent point. You know, even if that is the case, it doesn't make abortion right. People, you know, one of the arguments that we hear is, well, it's kind of a popular slogan is in the pro-life communities, I regret my abortion. And again, I know many women do regret their abortion, and again, that's a point that needs to be made for sure. But that's not where we root our argument. Because the fact is, somebody else can come along and say, I don't regret my abortion. In fact, you've got women like Gloria Steinem and others who are proud of their abortions and saying that it helps them. And so we're at an impasse then. And so, again, it diverts the attention away from the real question. And the real question is, what does abortion do to innocent human beings? You know, what are the unborn? Are they full-fledged members of the human community or not? And if they are, then abortion is wrong for that reason.
And you say it might unwittingly, these kind of bad pro-life arguments might unwittingly concede to the other side another very important question and related to it, which is what makes human life valuable? Where is the value found in human life?
That's right. We don't value people based on what they can do for us. We don't value people based on what they can do for themselves. We value people simply because of the kind of thing that they are. Human beings created in the image of God, full-fledged members of the human community from the moment of conception on. The science of human embryology makes this very clear. The consensus there is that from the moment of conception, you have a distinct, living, and whole human being.
So that kind of counters the notion that you mentioned earlier in our conversation. Someone says, well, we've aborted the next Einstein or the next Jonas Salk. And the other person could counter and say, well, yes, but we've also aborted the next Pol Pot, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, probably a lot of more of them than the Einsteins and
That's
the
right.
Salks.
That's right. And you know, Todd, I'm the father of a daughter who was born with cerebral palsy, and she is both severely mentally and physically handicapped. And, you know, so when I hear, as a dad, as a pro-lifer, when I hear people say, well, we might abort the next Einstein, my response is, no, we might abort the next child with Down syndrome or the next child with cerebral palsy. And that's tragedy enough. If we believe what human embryology teaches, that every that at the moment of conception you have a distinct living and whole human being. And so that's tragedy enough.
The word that I have found to be extremely useful in keeping my thinking straight on this has been intrinsic, and in particular, intrinsic value. Explain it.
Sure. Intrinsic value means that we are valuable simply because of the kind of thing we are. In other words, it's our nature as human beings that makes us valuable. We're not valuable based on what we can do. The other side, the pro-choice side, is saying things today like, well, you know, you're valuable once you're sentient or self-aware or once you're viable. And we're hearing, you know, our brainwaves, heartbeats. These are the mutable measuring sticks that people are using on the other side of this issue to defend abortion and saying that, you know, up to this point, you know, or after this point, it's okay to have an abortion, say after the point of self-awareness, let's say, which is what Peter Singer, the radical ethicist, puts forth. But again, the question is, why is that value giving? Why are those things like self-awareness or heartbeat or brain waves, why are these things value giving? Why are those the things that make us valuable? And notice, too, Todd, that those on that side of the issue there's no consensus among them. One person says in defending abortion that it's self-awareness that matters. The next person comes along and says, no, it's a heartbeat or brainwaves. So there is no consensus there. They can't tell you why these things are value-giving in the first place. And really, I think a real problem, too, is that when you defend abortion, I know we've gotten a little bit off the subject there because now we're talking about those that are defending abortion, not defending the pro-life position with bad arguments. But when you defend abortion that way, you kick the table legs out from under human equality. You can't boast of a commitment to human equality when you're dividing the room or the womb based on subjectively chosen arbitrary standards to determine who should live and who should die.
So that test, that everyone's test for inclusion in the human community based mm-hmm. upon what they will possibly do if they live, that test is completely arbitrary.
It is completely arbitrary. Because again, first of all, who determines what contribution makes somebody valuable? Is it somebody who hits home runs and entertains us? Or is it somebody who finds a cure for cancer? Who's going to determine who's going to make a significant contribution to human society how could we ever come up with any kind of a test that would be objective, you know, that we would find consensus on? But these are not the things that make us valuable. We're not human doings. We're human beings. We value human beings not based on what they can do for us, but simply we value them because of what they are. Human beings, again, created in the image of God.
We're talking with Michael Spencer, speaker and Midwest Director of Training for Life Training Institute. When we come back, we'll deal a little bit more with bad arguments for the pro-life cause. It's Wednesday afternoon, January the 14th. After our conversation with Michael concludes, we're going to go to open lines. Pope Francis recently said that he would like the women who were in attendance at the Sistine Chapel on Sunday for the baptism of their babies to breastfeed their children. We'll get your thoughts on breastfeeding in church during open lines, issues, etc. in about 10 minutes.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Throughout the history of the United States, we as a country have enjoyed our catchphrases from give me liberty or give me death to today's classic, it is what it is. TV commercials have added such classics as where's the beef to eat fresh. Here at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, we do not resort to catchphrases. Here we are about growing God's family by preaching God's word, by administering the sacraments, and building up God's people. So the next time you find yourself in central Oklahoma on a Sunday morning, come join the friendly folks at St. Mark in Edmond. You'll be glad you did. This is most certainly true.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Michael Spencer, speaker and Midwest Director of Training for Life Training Institute, author of an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled, What If Susan Couldn't Sing? Identifying and Avoiding Bad Pro-Life Arguments. We're talking about bad pro-life arguments, in particular one that's kind of a functionalist argument, that is, abortion is bad because it's robbed society of people who could have bettered all of our lives, kind of a general way of putting it. Now, you say that this is also, although it does not intend to be, it also is an elitist and intolerant viewpoint in this argument. What do you mean?
Yeah, that's right, Todd. It's elitist because what the pro-choice side does is they divorce humanness from personhood. You know, it used to be that when people argued for abortion, they simply said something to the effect of, well, you know, it's not a baby, it's a blob of tissue, or it's a product of conception, and they had these euphemisms. Today they're saying, no, they're granting us that premise. They're saying, look, we know it's human, we know it's alive, it's growing, it's a little boy or it's a little girl, but it's not a person, and so they've divided humanness from personhood. This is a completely artificial distinction. It's a legal trick that is designed to justify killing children in the womb. It's elitist because it's saying that only certain human beings matter, and only if they meet certain subjective tests that we the powerful have established for them, the weak. And I know these are fighting words, particularly on university campuses. But the reality is the pro-choice position at its very core is a position of bigotry, because again, when you divide the room or the womb based on subjectively chosen arbitrary standards, and I say standards in quotes, you no longer have a commitment to human equality. Human equality means equality for every person. And so it is indeed an elitist position. You know, we are accused as pro-lifers and as Christians, we are accused of being intolerant. But the fact of the matter is we're the tolerant ones. Our position is a position that says every human being matters, black, white, rich, poor, Jew, Gentile, born and unborn. That's not the position of the other side. And so when we use bad pro-life arguments, such as we shouldn't abort because we might be aborting the next Einstein, what we're doing is we are philosophically pickpocketing from the other side and using this functionalist argument that says that people are valuable because of what they can do. That's their position. Let them have it, because that's not our position. And so, yeah, it is indeed an elitist position. It's an intolerant position. Ours is the position of inclusivity.
So you are saying there that this is a bad argument because it also, whether or not it wins anything in the abortion debate or concedes anything in the abortion debate, it's a bad argument because it undermines the objective basis for human equality.
That's exactly right. We're giving away the farm when we argue that way as pro-lifers, and we don't need to. The fact of the matter is the pro-life position is robust. And the truth is on our side, and so we should avail ourselves to the best arguments and avoid those that are just going to get us in trouble tactically.
So bottom line on this, why is abortion wrong, if not that it robs society of both useful and meaningful contributors?
Sure. Well, I would answer it this way, Todd. Abortion is wrong for the same reason that killing 2-year-olds or 30-year-olds is wrong. It unjustly takes the life of innocent human beings, and that's what makes it wrong.
Then give us an example of the best kind of pro-life argument. Make it for us, if you would.
Sure. Well, again, our position, the pro-life position, is a position that it is wrong to unjustly take the life of innocent human beings. The science of human embryology tells us that life does begin at conception. That's not merely a religious view. That's a religious view that is backed up by science, the science of human embryology. And so therefore, if we agree, and most people do, that abortion is the unjust taking of innocent human life, and if we can agree with the science of human embryology that indeed the unborn are from the earliest stages of development a distinct living and whole human being, then we can conclude that abortion is the unjust taking of innocent human life. Every life matters, and every life should be protected. It's really that simple, Todd.
Isn't that also the best way to kind of have your feelers out for a bad pro-life argument if it is not rooted in the intrinsic value of every human life, regardless of characteristics, contribution, whatever it may be? Then it could very well be a bad pro-life argument.
That's right. I mean, it's kind of like, and I don't know how accurate or true this is, but the analogy that is often used is that the best way to spot a counterfeit is to know the real thing. So whether you're talking about dollar bills or whatever the case is, we need to know our arguments, know them well, and we'll be able to spot, you know, the other side's, the weakness, the soft underbelly, if you will, of the other side.
Michael Spencer is Speaker and Midwest Director of Training for Life Training Institute, author of an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled, What If Susan Couldn't Sing? Identifying and Avoiding Bad Pro-Life Arguments. You'll find a link to Life Training Institute under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week, pro-life Lutherans from around the world are going to be gathering in Washington, D.C. with other pro-lifers for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference. It's held in conjunction with the annual March for Life on the National Mall in Washington. Speakers there at the conference include Dr. Robert Jord, Pastor Matt Harrison, Carol Tobias of National Right to Life, and Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. There are also others there as well. Find out more about the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Washington, D.C. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, or you can find the LCMS Life Conference logo at our website, issuesetc.org.